The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back, Freedom 106.5 FM. Carrie V is here, I'm in a company. I'm going all the way to 6 p.m. It's the overdrive and it's time to get straight into the conversation about the pros and cons of foster care with the manager of the foster care unit and Julie Tiwari. Help me welcome her to Freedom 106.5 FM. Good afternoon, Ms. Tiwari. Welcome to Freedom.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
Nice. How are you doing today? How was your day?
I'm good. I'm excited to get the word out there about foster care.
Nice. So let me just give a little backdrop, all right? The Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago is a specialized agency with the responsibility for the care and the protection of children. Now, especially those who are at risk or have been victims of abuse or neglect. Now, the authority advocates for the rights of children and encourages and supports them to enjoy their childhood. Now, the organization's overarching objective is to utilize child-friendly and progressive solutions to address children's issues and rehabilitate them so that their full potential is realized. Now, the Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago is also responsible for all foster care placements taking place within Trinidad and Tobago. Now, if you're wondering what is foster care is a temporary option for children who are not able to live with their birth families due to a range of different circumstances. Now, the ultimate goal of the foster care is to provide a safe, stable, and nurturing home environment for children until such time they can be reunited with their family or until such time that other suitable long-term living arrangements can be made. Now, I'm just saying that for the listeners who don't really have an idea of what the Children's Authority does and who don't even know about foster care. Now, let me tell you something, Ms. Tiwari. I've learned about foster care on TV. I didn't even know that we had that down here until I got a little older and I understood, right? So let's get into it. Let's get straight into it. So, yes, I gave a definition, but in your experience working as the manager of the foster care unit of the Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago, what is foster care? Break it down for us.
So as you would have said in your little blurb there, foster care involves placement. We see the headlines all the time. Mm-hmm. Children need to be removed from spaces of danger. And when we do that, we want to make sure to provide them with safe, loving family environments. Mm-hmm. And that's what foster care is about. Giving children that stability, giving families that opportunity to heal. Mm-hmm. But the problem is a lot of places in Trinidad and Tobago mix up foster care and adoption. And they're two different things.
I thought it was the same. So tell us the difference between the two, foster care and adoption.
So foster care, I think it's important to understand that we say it's temporary placement because we at the authority feel that families have a right to their children and children have a right to their families. So we are working in the backgrounds with families. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we want to place children back with their families once it's appropriate and in the best interest of the child. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that isn't always the case. Now, adoption is different because adoption is permanent. That's when parents have given up the right to their children and that child becomes a permanent member of that adoptive family. So it's a separate process. It's two different types of children we're dealing with.
Oh, okay. All right. So what does it mean to be a foster parent? Can you let us know what should persons expect when they become an approved foster parent?
Sure. So when you become an approved foster parent, what you're really doing is you're stepping in the role of that child's parent in the absence of that parent in the interim period. Mm-hmm. So you are seeing about the child's needs day to day. School, doctor, you know, when they have a little meltdown, when you want to take them out for a little treat, you're really stepping into, you're not replacing the parent. We don't want persons to think that we're taking their role. We are stepping in temporarily whilst we're doing some work with both the child and the birth families in the background. Mm-hmm. So you're really sort of taking up that mantle, and it's your role to sort of make sure that child is safe and protected and loved for that period.
And what you're saying is really, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that a foster parent is like a replacement, is it?
Not a replacement, because I don't want birth families to think that we are X and M out of this role. You are, the birth family is part of that team around the child, but we're really giving birth families a time to put things in order.
Right.
To sort of, if they need to find housing, if they need to get drug rehab, if they need to get therapy or parenting classes, find employment, we are giving you the opportunity. Mm. We are not preventing you from seeing your child. You're just not able to care for your child. And sometimes it may be because the perpetrator of abuse is in the home. Mm. So it's really the child's best interest to be away from that. Right. So the foster parent is not replacing, they are stepping up to act in the role of the parent for that period.
Okay, and that is really what it means to be a foster parent. So if something happens, you're taking that step to being to acting in that role of a parent.
Yes.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. We've sort of, as a culture in the Caribbean, it's something that we've all been exposed to. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us, either your granny or your auntie or your neighbor, took in somebody for that temporary period because maybe they couldn't go to school, things were rough at home. We've done it informally as part of our psyche, and it's really about us getting back to that time.
Yeah.
But now we're doing it in a formalized way. The Children's Authority is here doing it to sort of protect patients, vet patients, make sure it's done properly.
You know, true story here, right? And as you mentioned it, I just remembered. I remember when I was really young, well, I have siblings as well. And I remember when mommy brought home a boy. His name was Alan. Now, if I see Alan, no importance, when I won't even remember his face, but she did. And she had him going the same school as us for a while, maybe a few years or so. And then he left. I don't know why, because I mean, I was young. And now I understand, because I asked her about him, maybe like about some months or last year or something. And I said, but mommy, you remember Alan? And she's like, yes, I must remember Alan. I said, what's going on with him? And she said that he's married with about 4 children and he's living. And I didn't really understand that whole foster parent thing, but I'm glad to have you here with us today, Miss Tiwari, you know, explaining it to us, all right?
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the requirements. Who can be a foster parent?
So one of the first things we ask is that you have love in your heart. You have to mean this. You have to be genuine about this, you know. You have to have a safe home. It can't be that, you know, it's unstable. Because remember, we're taking children from possible places of danger and trauma. We want to make sure we're placing them in a safe space. So you have to have a safe space and a safe space for that child.
Right.
And we ask that you're committed. At the end of the day, I don't want it to be that when I place a child with you and I've raised expectations, you call and say, hi, I want you to come and take back this child and not working out.
Right.
We really want you to commit to this process, work with us, let's see how we can get around any hiccups. Sometimes things don't just kind of land, you know, perfectly. We have to work towards it and sort of give you that training, give you that support to get to where you need to be.
Right, nice. So what are some of the skills a good foster parent must have in order to be one?
Ask a person, have patience. As with any parent, you need to have patience.
I think they need to sell these things called patience in groceries now. Because, I mean,
people expect children to be perfect, but you are not perfect. I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
We have to understand that children have blips. And sometimes children who've been traumatized, who've been exposed to neglect, abandonment, abuse, they may act out.
Yeah.
So we ask foster parents to have empathy above all. Mm. Don't take these children's reactions personally. Think about what they've been through, what they've been exposed to. Some of us cannot even imagine what they've seen in their young lives.
Yeah.
Really put yourselves in their shoes and empathize. I'm not asking you to let them get away with murder at all.
True.
We have discipline and boundaries and rules in your home, but absolutely just stop for a second to think, what caused them to be like this? What caused them to act that way? And absolutely just be open to the support of the authority. We're here holding your hand throughout the process, giving you that support, whether it's psychological support, peer support, financial support for the needs of the child.
Right.
All of those things, we are here. We assign a caseworker to you, so you're not doing this on your own.
Oh, right, because I was wondering that. Now, if someone wants to consider being a foster parent, what is the most difficult part of this whole process?
So an important thing for persons to realize, because this is temporary placement, we are working in the background. So there's a possibility that these children may go back to their parents.
Mm.
Sometimes foster care can be one night, a couple of days, a couple of months, a couple of years. There's no way for us to tell that from the start.
Right.
But we do ask persons to think about the possibility of saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Part of being a foster parent means being able to say goodbye. And saying goodbye is not as bad as people make it sound. It's hard, but saying goodbye means you have love in your heart, you felt something, and you gave back something.
You made a positive impact on that person's life.
Yes, exactly. It's about thinking about the big picture, not just about our own selfish needs.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you will get attached, but getting attached is okay. But knowing that you played a role in the big picture, in the trajectory of this child's life, that should be the most important thing.
Nice. Now, you mentioned a very good word there. You said hard, right? And it made me think, Now, based on your experience as the manager of the foster care unit, what are some of the feedback that do you get from foster parents, meaning that first-time foster parents? Like, what is the hardest thing? What do they come and say, well, oh, gosh, this is the hardest thing I ever do in this foster care? You know, what is it from your experience?
So I would say every foster parent's experience is different. Every child is different. So sometimes you could get a baby and it's easy. And sometimes you get another baby and it's really difficult because they're crying, you know, they're going through their own medical issues, they've been exposed to stuff. Sometimes you could have a teenager, and a lot of people make assumptions about teenagers. And nobody wants to touch teenagers. But sometimes you might get the most just quiet, most sensitive, most hardworking, dedicated teenager who's really grateful for that safe space just to go to school, just to be able to have their own room, you know? So I think it's about looking past assumptions and really testing yourself, you know, knowing you have the choice to choose what age, gender, race, religion, child you get, whatever works for your lifestyle. You get to choose the length of time that you're comfortable providing foster care for. So you really do have a lot of choice in this, you know? What we're asking persons is to consider, can I really do this? Am I willing to commit to this process? And really think about opening your heart.
Right. Sorry about that. Are you still there? You hearing me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Someone tried calling us on our social media. Line. Guys, please don't call me on the WhatsApp. We wouldn't be able to take calls on WhatsApp, but of course we will take one or two of your phone calls when we come back from the break, all right? But before we head to the break, Mr. Wari, I want to find out, why is being a foster parent the best decision anyone can make here?
So I think if we look at our nation, you know, the path we're going, you know, and a lot of our children are just sort of, you know, being left to the wayside. I think we all talk about wanting to make a difference and give back. And to me, I think this is the perfect way to give back. As a nation, we have started, unfortunately, to rely on placing children in children's homes. And I don't think that's right. Although the children's homes serve a purpose, children deserve a time in a family, that targeted sort of individualized care. And I feel as though by committing to something like this, when we have more foster parents and children's homes in Trinidad and Tobago, we could really make a huge difference in how children turn out and then how the future of our nation turns out.
Nice. Understood, understood. Now, do we really need foster parents here in Trinidad and Tobago, or don't people just take care of their own?
You think so, right?
Yeah.
But it's so sad because we, as the Children's Authority, we always try our best to place children with families first, with their birth families, right?
Right.
And sometimes families just don't come forward. They don't step forward at all. And that's why we have to look at foster care. But the good thing is we actually have kinship foster care, which allows us to support family members, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents, who may struggle to maybe care for some of their relatives, but we are now giving you that training, vetting, and support to make sure that that child's needs can be met. So if it is that we can explore kinship foster care before looking at traditional foster care, which is you may not know that child, we would look at that first.
Oh, understood, understood. All right, Mr. Wari, thank you so much for that. And guys, if you're now joining us, good afternoon and welcome. We are here with Miss Anjuli Tiwari from, she's the manager of the Children's Authority, the foster care unit of the Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago, because we are talking about the pros and cons of foster care. And I'm very sure that you are aware of it, but then on the other hand, you don't quite understand. And that's okay. So when we come back, what we will do, and if it's okay with you, Miss Tiwari, we could probably take a few calls because I'm very sure that there are persons, you know, wanting to know more. And I may have missed a question or two. All right. So we'll take about two phone calls, a few messages on WhatsApp, and then we'll get back to it. All right. So stick and stay. We are here with Miss Tiwari, the manager of the foster care unit of the Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago. We are going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, it's going to be so much more as we are discussing the pros and cons of foster care right here in Trinidad and Tobago. Keep it locked.
She is fun and engaging. It's Carrie V on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Thank you guys so much for choosing Freedom 106.5 FM, 625-2257 or 627-3223. We are here with the manager of the foster care unit of the Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago, Miss Anjuli Tiwari. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much for answering the questions and shedding light on the foster care unit and, you know, the process on how to be a foster parent. Now, as I mentioned before, I've been receiving a lot of calls, so let's take a few because I know some persons have questions for you. So yeah, so let's take that phone call, 625-2257 or 627-3223. Let's hear who's there. You can give me a call. You can even send me a message on WhatsApp as well. 306-1065. Let's hear who's there. Hello, good afternoon. All right, try me back. Hello, good afternoon.
Carrie, good afternoon.
Hey, love, what's happening? Like night-night. Talk to us.
All right, let me talk about this issue of foster care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as Mr. Wari said, it's now formalized structure, right? Because I remember when I was very young, foster care was in service, you understand? But not mainly for local children. But in fact, the school I went to, School for Blind Children, Santa Cruz, we have students from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And for certain holidays, shorter holidays, they would not go home. They would most likely go for Christmas.
Right.
You know? But during Easter and August, the school would find foster parents for them to go and stay by.
Okay, okay.
For the holidays. In fact, my mother took two young boys along with me for those holidays. Mm. I mean, I was worthless and thing. I left them home and I got in the yard and thing, right?
Uh-huh.
No, but it's a labor of love.
Right, right.
Now, they used to get a lot of chance for taking care of my mother. But in those days, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Bo? All right, Bo, you'll try us back. Thank you so much for your call. So, you've heard him. So, does that still happen?
So I think the focus here is, you know, so whilst I pointed out that as a nation, this is something that we do, it's built into our psyche. Mm-hmm. I think one thing to acknowledge is in the Children's Authority, we specifically deal with children who are in need of care and protection.
Right.
So whereas maybe before it might have been underprivileged children who might have come into families or who maybe had to, like, you know, maybe somebody live in South and was going to school in North.
Right.
But in this circumstance, we're actually dealing with children who have to be removed from their homes because they've been abandoned or abused. So to me, this is why so much more important, this formalized foster care system.
Mm.
We are now servicing the most neediest children in Trinidad and Tobago, the ones who are most vulnerable and at risk.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's really a service, a labor of love, as the caller said, you know. It's something that you have to really mean and understand what you're getting involved in as well.
Mm, understood. Now, someone sent a message here. Good afternoon, Carrie V, and good afternoon to you, Ms. Tiwari. I've been fostering for the past 15 years for a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. My only need is no financial help as I am now retired. How can the authority help? Thanks and blessings. This is coming from Uncle T. Thanks so much, Uncle T. So I don't know if you can answer that question for us, Mr. Wari.
Sure. So I guess when he uses the term fostering, it means that he probably was caring for children. So they probably weren't placed by the Children's Authority because we have only been operational for about 10 years now.
Oh.
And even though foster care was informally started by NFS, National Family Services, since about the early 90s, but it was a very informal, small program.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a register of approved foster care providers, and in order to become a foster care provider, you do have to go through a certain vetting process, which is legislatively mandated.
Right.
So maybe when he's saying that, you know, he has been caring for two children, it may have been through a different, more informal process.
Right.
I think in a situation like that, you know, it would be something that maybe exploring. He can call the authorities hotline, which is 996 or 800-2014, and maybe ask advice, because it may be that the circumstances had where the children were placed in his care, we can explore whether any grants can be applied for,
right,
or whether he can go before the court to seek financial assistance.
Right, right. Understood. Thanks so much for answering that question. Now, I have another one. I'm hearing something about a foster care survey. What is that all about?
So right now, in 2025, we are actually at an all-time low of applicants. It's the first time we've actually faced this, where I know foster care is a difficult thing to commit to because of the temporary nature, but we actually have very few persons stepping forward and wanting to start the process, and we are in dire need of foster care providers.
Mm.
So because of this, we've actually started a survey, which the people students can access on our website, www.ttchildren.org, and that would allow us to find out a little bit more about what the barriers are, what is being forward and accepted accepting, you know, that this could be something that they can consider. Mm-hmm. We really are curious to see what patients think, what their views are, what their feedback is, and hopefully the survey can give us access to that.
Okay, and so what you're saying is that we just need to visit the website and you can access the survey. Okay, great. Yeah. Understood. So one last thing, because I know we have to close up soon because it's just about 3:45. Where can people get more information besides the website? Do you all do something like, you know, you go out and you reach out to persons? But before that, let's take this phone call. All right. 625-2257 or 627-3223. Hello, good afternoon.
Carrie, I was going to make the point.
Yeah, Bo, tell me.
About, now, we have children with disabilities who may need foster care. Are the people who qualify for foster care also qualified to deal with such children? Because, you know, you have different disabilities.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I want Mr. Wari to address that because that's a crucial point.
It's, yeah, you know, yeah. Valid, yeah.
And you just put them in a corner and say, look at food here. You understand? So do they have any programs in place? And if they need any help, well, yours truly is available.
Yes, of course, I know that. Same way, that is Bowani. He is visually impaired, and he does reach out and help those who have the same disability, and he actually helps them and get them out. So, yeah, maybe, I don't know. So, does it have systems in place for that at the foster care unit?
Well, that's a really, really good question, because in Trinidad and Tobago, it feels as though we have a lot of deficits in the area of providing services to children with additional needs. Mm-hmm. On a very rare occasion, we will get persons who step forward and say they would like to foster a child with additional needs, and we're so grateful for those persons. They either have experience working with children with disabilities, or they have that willingness and ability to sort of learn and gain the training. Yeah. We do provide additional training. We provide additional resources financially to meet the child's needs, mm-hmm. and put foster parents onto referral services such as therapists or any sort of medical needs that they may need. Mm-hmm. So definitely we do address that, but we unfortunately don't get that many foster parents who are willing and able to have children with additional needs placed with them.
Right.
So we are inviting persons to, you know, come forward and then volunteer for that.
Yes. So I want to go back to a very important question that I asked you before. Now, you told me, but I just wanted cemented in persons' minds and hearts. If we want to be a foster parent, how do we apply? What is the process for application?
So we ask persons to give us a call on 627-0748, extension 40988. Have a chat with us. Find out if foster care is for you. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of persons are confused. They may want adoption, and we can refer you to the adoption unit. Yeah. But we really want persons to be encouraged to think about how temporary care can make a huge difference in a child's life. Mm-hmm. Or you can email us at fostercare@ttchildren.org. Or like I said, go to our website, www.ttchildren.org, where you can download an application package, as well as we do have frequently asked questions in case you have anything else you want to find out.
Right, nice. One more thing. One last question.
Sure, no problem.
Have there been any instances whereby someone is fostering a child and it so happens that, you know, the child would like to stay there? That has happened?
So I would say it's a 50-50. A lot of times people think, you know, we're going to provide such a nice, loving home for them. Maybe they'll want to stay, but it's not about that. At the end of the day, mommy and daddy will always be mommy and daddy.
Correct.
A child will always want to know where they come from. So we want to make sure persons aren't getting into it for the long haul, that adoption is different, you know? So if you are getting into foster care, you're knowing that this child is likely to have a relationship with their family, and it's not about using it as a shortcut to adoption.
Yeah.
It's not to say that sometimes foster care can not lead to adoption, but it's very specific circumstances, and it has to be that the child's family has given up the right to that child.
Right.
So we just want to make it very clear. It's two separate things. One can lead to the other, but it's not a guarantee, and we don't want persons to use one as a shortcut into the other.
Oh, understood. And one more thing, because you just mentioned something. One more thing. So Have there ever been any instances whereby, you know, a parent is fostering a child and the biological parents, mommy or daddy, you know, don't want the child to be with that particular family or in that particular area? That has ever happened? Like any kind of confusion that has ever happened?
So a big thing to notice, we always keep the confidentiality of our foster parents paramount. We don't share their names, addresses, location with both families or the courts. You know, this is something that we really want to prevent persons from knowing that it's a foster care situation.
Right. Okay. Understood.
I think when it comes to that, it may be that generally some families don't agree that their children have been taken away from them. But I want to assure persons, we would never remove a child unless we thought that child was at risk or in danger in the first place. And every child goes before the court. So it's not just the Children's Authority felt like moving a child one day and removed a child.
Right.
So everything is, vetted by the court and sanctioned by the court as well.
And that is a process by itself.
Yeah, and we've actually had birth parents, once a child has been reintegrated with them, they're very grateful for the service that foster parents provided.
Mm-hmm.
And they've even sent thank you presents for the foster parents.
Oh.
But each situation is different, of course. Sometimes we have grateful parents, sometimes we have contentious parents, but our prime goal is to provide safety and stability and love to that child that we have removed.
Ah, yes. Well, I want to thank you so much, Ms. Tiwari, for shedding light and actually making us understand more, or even understand better, the role and function of the foster care unit of the Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago. Anything else you'd like to say before we go? Anything that I thought that, I forgot to ask you that you need to share with our listeners?
I think I just want to thank you for asking such great questions. Mm-hmm. I want to let persons know we are holding your hand through the entire process. We're giving you that support to do this amazing job. And I really want to encourage persons to think about this. Open your hearts and homes, because so many children on a daily basis require this temporary kind of placement.
Yes. Thank you so much, Miss Anjuli Tiwari. She is the manager of the foster care unit of the Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago. Thank you so much. Have an amazing afternoon.
Thank you.
I hope we talk again. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.